I agree with the first part of your sentence. Hello and welcome to Disembodied Voices, episode 132 for July 15th, 2014. This is a video game podcast with occasional Yetis. I am your host, Brian, and there are three people joining me today. One is my brother, Zachary. Hello, Zachary, how are you doing?
I've apparently been adopted.
You have. How do you feel about that?
Well, I already have parents, so...
But do you have a brother?
Yes.
Shoot.
But... I'm going to go on a limb here and say that he's probably not as cool as Steven.
Oh, hey.
Or Brian.
I didn't see
you
there.
Thank you.
You're just behind, though. We're recording the Disembodied Voices podcast. Come on, you can join us.
Oh, well, that's our mutual brother, Steven. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Hello,
you guys
and finally.
About shapes?
No. Finally, our cousin, twice removed, Cameron. Hi, Cameron. How are you doing?
Wow.
We're all a big family now. It's great.
I've been working on removing Cameron a few more times just for good measure.
Yep, but so far it's just two. We'll work on those. We'll work on getting him like seven times removed by next week. But hey, we can only go so far. So, a week has passed since we all gathered in a Skype chat room and talked about video games. And a lot of crazy stuff has happened.
Has it?
Yeah, you guys got into a car accident, didn't you?
Exactly.
That's my idea.
I saw
idea
that
of
on Twitter, and I was just
night.
Like, I'm actually kind of concerned. And then I see that picture of both of you just smiling, and I'm like, did they, like, kill a clown or something? Like, I mean, like, I don't know why somebody is so happy after wrecking their car unless they, like, you know, run over a clown or something.
That would make me sad.
One less clown in the world is actually a reason to celebrate, but.
But what if you got, what if you got a clown all over the front of your car? Then you wouldn't be so happy, would you?
Okay, so what actually happened is we were driving down and we hit something and we didn't know what the heck it was. We were on the highway. It was like 11 p.m. and then this giant red shoe slammed into our windshield.
And so all the cars were like honk and the clown was like honka 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 and it was this complete chaos.
Okay, so what actually happened is we'd been downtown for a concert, a Lindsey Stirling concert, and that ended, and we were heading back, and it was about 11:30 p.m., I don't quite remember, it's not an important detail, and suddenly our car started making horrible sounds, and I wasn't really paying attention at the time, because I wasn't driving, and I was just listening to music, and suddenly our car was lurching, and we were stopping in the middle of the highway, or on the median of the
what
highway,
kind of
and
road
I thought-
was this?
What kind of road?
Like, was it a highway? Was it a back road?
I said highway.
Freeway? Okay, what? Yeah, great. Highway. That's really descriptive. Is it like a giant freeway?
You just said one of the things it could have been was a highway, and now you're getting mad at me for using that description.
Yeah, I am. What kind of road was it?
It was a...
How many
fairly,
lanes?
It was like a... It was a slightly smaller highway. We weren't like on a huge bypass or anything. There was a feeder road right next to us, luckily. But there were cars going 60 plus all around us. And
it was like, yeah, one of the freeways that lead out of, right out of downtown.
Yes. So, like,
so
3 minutes
that
out
hard
of downtown.
So, is that hard to say there,
Brian? What? Yeah, Brian, what's wrong with you?
Hey, the only thing I'm objecting about is Cameron said, what kind of road is it? Was it a highway? Was it a freeway? And I said, it's a highway. And he's like, geez, that's helpful. What? Stop misleading me, Cameron. Anyway, so basically one of our wheels was completely shot, and our car was stuck on the side of some downtown Houston highway in the middle of the night, like almost literally at midnight. And that was not a very good situation to be in because the only shelter nearby was a seedy looking gas station.
Well, that's not true. That's not true.
There was, you're also, right, there was a seedy looking hotel.
Yes. I wanted to mention the seedy looking hotel as well. But it was pretty
right.
scary
we had
because
both of those.
Even though we had stopped and we were no longer in peril of hitting something, with great velocity, other things could have hit us with great velocity, especially because as our tire was blowing out, we could hear the tires of other people blowing out at the same time. So this could have
easily
turned...
Yeah, a bunch of people were hitting this debris.
It could have turned into a huge pileup. And then while we were sitting in the car, I'm looking at the road, and I'm seeing I hear pow, and someone else gets their tire shot out right in front of us, and this metal is skidding across the ground and shooting sparks into the night, and I'm like, we should probably not be sitting right here. Let's call the police after we get out of the car and hide somewhere.
Right. So we hid under our car. No, we yes. just got out of the car and went over to the gas station, and basically cops and wreckers started showing up and figuring things out, and we were there for about maybe 45 minutes before someone came to pick us up and bring us back home. But it was a very interesting evening.
Yes.
That could have gone a heck of a lot worse than it did.
And it turns out that the cops actually wanted to hang around for a while, even though we left, because there was some suspicious activity going on that street, apparently, and they looked all nervous and stuff, which made us even more nervous and stuff. So it could have been...
Well, there was a giant truck that had been pulled over, and this had suspicious cargo in it.
Yes. So, essentially, we probably just had a car accident directly in front of, like, some kind of drug smuggling cartel. That's Houston for you. Can't wait for you to come back, Cameron.
So, yeah, that's basically instilled a phobia of ever going downtown after dark for me now.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. But it was worth it for the Lindsay Sterling concert. That was amazing.
That was amazing. I don't know if it was worth it, but that was amazing.
It was worth it. What did we
lose? I don't
know
if it was worth it, but that was amazing.
Some time and some money. Totally worth it. And a fun experience.
I should say I would not do that again, re-rolling the odds of what could happen.
No, but now that it's all over, totally worth it.
Yeah, for sure. But that has nothing to do with video games, and unfortunately nothing to do with Yetis either, unless that truck had been smuggling Yetis.
Well, it felt kind of like The Last of Us, how people are having like normal conversations, and then something terrible happens.
Right.
And all of a sudden.
Getting pulled over on the side of the road because your tire going out is so much like Joel having his daughter die.
Wow. I definitely didn't mean to make that comparison, but thanks, Cameron. That clown.
When Cameron hears The Last
daughter.
Of Us, that's the only thing he remembers. So every
it was the
comparison
only good
he hears,
part of the game, so.
He assumes people are talking about that one part.
Well, did we not mention the fungus-infested zombies?
No, you didn't actually.
That was from the Sea right. Hotel, right? That was a whole different part of the story,
right? So, what have you been up to this past week, Cameron?
Not a whole lot in particular. I played some Shovel Knight. I played some Minecraft. And I played some Bad Piggies, and that was about it. So we can move on.
All right, Zachary.
Right. Okay. I've been playing a lot of games this week, but I guess I want to hone in on a single one involving lots of ghosts and a vacuum cleaner. So
I could make a dumb guess about what that is, but I know you've been playing Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, so as you might have seen on the Twitter, I went to a friend's house yesterday, and I saw that, or rather, like, we were just going through his GameCube games, and like, you know, just talking about them, whatever, and then, like, Luigi's Mansion came up, and I'm like, yeah, I never played that, and he just gave me this look of death. And
the Luigi
just, like,
death stare? Very
yeah,
appropriate.
And he kind of just, like, picked up the game slowly, then, like, slowly put it in my hands, and then just looked at me, and just said, play this now. Go home now. Just, like, you know, leave now, and just play this. Do nothing else but play this.
And so I did, and so
I beat it today. Like, I played it all night last night, and then I played it some more this morning, and I beat it.
Oh, man, you're pretty brave to play Luigi's Mansion alone at night.
Which is funny because actually my friend actually came with me, and like he was actually talking about, like, you know, since he first played it when he was a kid, since that game came out like 13 years ago, and
oh my God.
Like he was actually pointing out like all the moments that freaked him out as a kid, and I'm like, really? Can this game even like scare kids? Like,
well,
there is nothing in that game that's, like, even, like,
pretty
remotely...
Terrifying.
I mean, like, I guess there are some, like, spooks, but, you know, they're just spooks.
I guess I wasn't that young when I played it, but I'm very easily scared by video games. And I didn't remember
being scary, though.
Remotely scary in any way. And yeah, but I can remember so vividly what all the ghosts sound like. Just that blah, blah,
blah, blah. Well, we did play that Nintendo Land game.
That's true. Maybe that's what has them it everywhere. So fresh in my mind.
That game is scary.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
I did yell a lot while playing that.
So, Zach, what do you think is more fun, knocking on all of the walls or, like, pulling drapes and stuff into the vacuum cleaner?
Oh, that was actually, I mean, so, like, most launch games, that game is definitely just meant to be kind of like a showcase mm-hmm. of what the GameCube could do, but they did a lot of really cool things just to prove what the GameCube could do, especially with the fabrics and stuff.
Yes.
And being able to mm-hmm. just, like, yank them into the vacuum cleaner. Of course, later on, it became somewhat of a... It became kind of frustrating because since I would be trying to, like, you know, get a Boo or something, and then, I mean, like, and then Luigi wanted to target the drapery or something, and I'm like, Luigi, like, there were many a, various, foul words thrown out at the TV while playing Luigi's Mansion. Because that game can get really frustrating.
I guess,
especially
right.
in the end game when you're trying to catch Boos and then they keep on going back and forth like between rooms.
Right? Yeah, like you explore the whole mansion and then they're like, now there are a ton of Boos everywhere. Go find them.
Yeah, forgot about that part.
Yeah, but I actually did that. I'm pretty sure that I got pretty much everything in that game.
And yeah, that is not a game that's horribly difficult to do that in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very short game. It's very fun. I did feel bad though because I beat it and just got rank C, so I just got Luigi like a nice little like country home with like, you know, maybe like 4 bedrooms.
Start.
Nice. Yeah, which actually saw the rank A house, which is just a massive like mansion with the L on top of it and everything like that, and I'm like, wow. I kind of want that, but I also don't want to go through the game again.
Well, ever since we saw that the ending where Luigi gets his true prize, that very nice country house, we've been wanting a sequel where there are no ghosts. All you do is clean the house called Luigi Squeegee.
Yeah, that is a true story of something we actually wanted when we finished that game.
That's pretty good.
So Luigi Dark Moon or whatever really isn't as good of a title.
Yeah, it disappointed us a little.
So Zach, now you gotta go play Dark Moon.
Yeah, I think that I am gonna, I mean, like, cause like, from what I heard from my friend, he said that Dark Moon like streamlines the whole game and makes it like
it
a lot, and makes it like a lot less frustrating.
Basically what it does is it takes everything about the first game and makes it, quote-unquote, portable-friendly. So, mission structure broken up, a little bit easier to control, a little bit less content in general, I think. And so some people like that, some people don't.
Fewer drape physics?
Well, no, the drape physics are still pretty good, actually.
Okay.
I have one question, though.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Are the vacuum and the flashlight controls inverted again?
There's no second analog stick on the 3DS, so they actually get away with that in a different way entirely, so you should be okay.
That would be so good, because that was my major problem, was that, like,
they
were inverted, and it caused me, like, more problems than pretty much, I mean, like, it probably was, like, the hardest thing to actually get a, like, wrangle on, and there was, like, nothing, or I mean, like, and there was, like, nothing in the option menus to change that, and I was getting really frustrated at times because I was like trying to like, you know, catch a ghost whilst also trying to like avoid something in the room, and I'm trying to like aim my flashlight and then I press up just because I think that up means up, but no, up means down in this game.
Oh man, that would drive me crazy if it was the other way around. Yep. But I never even noticed it because I have the privilege of liking inverted controls.
Well, it's like inverted left and right are totally, like, my thing, like...
I hate that!
In third-person games, like, I always need my camera, like, to be,
people
like,
are
inverted
so
left
weird.
And right.
Just left is left and right is right, up is up and down is down.
Well,
oh my god, how hard is it?
I agree with the first part of your sentence.
it's very weird, but, like, for some reason, like, I've always been playing platformers and stuff, with the x-axis like inverted, and like I can't play it like, you know, normally, which actually there was one platform where I tried playing where like it was set normally and I couldn't change it.
I think,
and like I just gave up because I couldn't get the hang of it.
I think the reasoning for that one is because it's like, pretend you're moving a camera around. If you move it right, it will look to the character's left. So that's kind of why that,
right.
I can see why right and left inverted would feel natural if that's what you're used to, because you start thinking of yourself as the camera instead of like the character's viewpoint. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make as much sense if you're playing a platformer like Ratchet and Clank and you start, the crosshair is going the wrong way.
Well, see, that's actually why games like that actually have like, I mean like actually have like separate things for you.
Yeah.
Which is actually, so as not to give anybody the wrong idea, I actually play third person shooters and games that have like, you know, like, some kind of like, crosshair part in it. That is actually normal set for me. Like, I can't do the inverted x-axis for that. It's just that, if it's third person with a camera that goes around the character, I have to have it, like, inverted.
Right. Yep, that makes sense. So, what else have you been playing?
So I beat that, and as you guys also got in the text, I bought the Metroid Prime, like, trilogy on the Wii last week, because I went to GameStop, and I'm like, I want to buy a game. And then I see that, and I'm like, hey.
Oh, wow.
I should totally buy this, because I know that I am probably, at least probably within the next few years, this game is probably going to be impossible to find in stores, and will probably cost a lot more than it all. So I bought it for $50 used, even though it's just new with the package, you know, all wrapped up. Whatever,
Really good. Like,
so important.
You know, GameStop.
Important question about that. Do you invert your Wiimote controls?
No. No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. First person never inverted that, no.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Yeah,
and you're playing through
Metroid Prime 1, yeah, because one is the only game that I've actually not played through more than once.
It's the one that most deserves it.
Yeah, so like I've been playing through it again and like, wow. That game is really good.
I could really go for some Metroid Prime.
Bum 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 bum.
Like,
I don't think Cameron ever played them.
Bum 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 bum.
Actually, Cameron did have a copy of Metroid Prime. I know it. He had a copy. I know it. I know he did, and I know that he played it. And it was either he got stuck or the disc was scratched and froze somewhere.
One of those two answers are correct.
I'm gonna go with
stuck.
Disc was scratched.
You got it.
Yeah,
I couldn't get past the very early on point because my brother owned the game and he doesn't take care of anything, so it just didn't work.
That's sad. And you never
I
went
do
back.
Remember that now.
Never went back because why go back to things? It's in the past.
Wow,
Cameron is scaring me tonight.
Yeah, he seems like he has a lot of. Cameron, have you been murdering clowns off the job?
That was your guys' job.
He just has a closet full of dead clowns that he's hoping no one will discover.
Brian, I do not own a closet, so I couldn't do that.
Exactly.
Ah,
it's
exactly.
Out of the floorboards. Give him a break, Brian.
I live on
the
a
telltale
floor of a building, so it would be in the person's house if it was on the floorboards.
But do you know what I love so much about Metroid Prime to move
to move away from clown aside?
I love how much that world feels like it's alien. And, like, all science fiction-y, but at the same time, it's all about the Chozo and all about discovering the ruins. It's one of the coolest worlds in video games.
Which is weird, because, not that it's a cool world, but the idea of, you know, sci-fi with an ancient race that's been wiped out that had great technology is kind of trite at this point. Like, Mass Effect has done it.
That's a good point. I guess I should clarify to say that
in Metroid Prime.
It feels like you're investigating abandoned ruins, and there's no, like...
Hand-holding, telling you, these guys were the ancient...
It's a different kind of thing. It's not like they were, like, the master race or something. They were just a people, and they were probably wise or something. And then they're, like, actual, like, Chozo ghosts and stuff. Like, I like that. You're like, almost like you're in Tomb Raider or something, investigating these.
Was Metroid Prime Hunters any good?
No.
Wow, we just mirrored each other's reaction.
We had a friend who is completely obsessed with the multiplayer. He would play for hours and hours on end. And
I don't care about that. It was the actual single player.
The single player was terrible. No, it was basically a multiplayer game.
Wait, why was it terrible?
Because it's like, okay, it broke everything up into little missions. Think Dark Moon.
Oh.
On top of that, it had like 3 boss fights in the game, and it looped those over and over again, so you probably fought the same boss like 4 times. Like, that's how the game was designed. It was just very bare bones and not at all a full Metroid experience.
Oh, bummer.
And loopy. Yeah. So I would not play that.
What was the last thing you said?
Very loopy.
Oh, loopy, okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad I never played
Sorry about that. But hey, you played Fusion. That was good, right?
I did play Fusion, and I actually almost... Did I actually beat Fusion? I beat Fusion. That's right.
You beat
Fusion. Was so... Like, I don't even like Metroidvania games, and Fusion was so good, I couldn't stop playing it.
That's great.
I love
play Zero Mission.
How do I get it?
Zero Mission.
Buy it
so
on Amazon.
Cool.
Okay, what is it on?
The GBA.
Game Boy Advance.
I don't have a GBA.
What?
How did you play?
Well, you have a DS, though.
Cameron, you can use your, really big, GBA that you are currently recording this podcast on.
Oh, gosh.
Zachary. Okay, Cameron, look.
Zach, when did you tell Cameron how to record on a GBA?
I'm really confused. I don't understand at all.
He's telling
you
that
you can emulate it.
Yes.
How
did you not get that?
Oh.
Wait, are you saying Cameron's the last one in the room to get an emulation innuendo or what?
I really, really didn't understand. I was so
Emulendo?
Confused. I was like, I don't, but Zach. I don't have an old fat GBA anymore. I don't
Okay, Cameron, we gotta run through a list here. Do you have a Game Boy Advance, just a straight Game Boy Advance?
No.
Do you have an SP?
No.
Do you have a Micro?
A Game Boy Player?
No.
Do you have a
All
Nintendo
I have is a 3DS.
DS? Well then play it on
a
your
3DS.
DS.
I have a 3DS.
Oh, what? What? Why
Guys,
are you like
I got,
this?
I got rid of my old stuff when I got new stuff.
See, that's your problem.
I know it's a problem. I was a dumb kid.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
have it.
It's just, you really should, there are so many good GBA games, you might just want to, like, dig into that a little
bit. You
think
I haven't, like, played? I used to own every iteration of the GBA, so I've obviously played GBA games.
I guess so. Well, surely you have a Game Boy Player.
Right.
You don't even have a GameCube, do you?
Yeah, I do have a GameCube, and it's actually plugged in and ready to go whenever it wants because of RE4.
Okay, there you go. That's
well, then,
Cameron, reason,
I guess
you'd
better play Super Metroid instead.
Yeah, you could do that.
I also have a Super Nintendo plugged in currently.
Ooh, there you go. You know, I love
yeah,
all Metroid games except Other M. Every single Metroid game is awesome, except, actually, the first one's kind of bad. So that one and Other
Hey, the first one isn't kind of bad. The first one is actually sort of bad.
Yeah. You're right, it's sort of bad.
Key
not
distinction, Steven.
Bad. Has anyone?
I mean, I enjoy the first Metroid. I like playing.
I don't think
it,
I've ever
I mean,
had enjoyment.
They kind of made it a moot point when they put out like Zero Mission. It's just kind of like,
so
why even play the first one now when you can get like you know basically the same game but like way better.
Have you ever been able to get into Metroid 2?
Yeah.
I own it on my 3DS, and just, for some reason, I just didn't want to play it. Like, I love the music, but otherwise, I'm just like, this is just hard, and...
I played it on the Super Game Boy.
Okay, well.
So I played it on a TV, and, you know, warming, like, you know, beyond it, looking, you know, really big and kind of fuzzy and blown up, but it was still fun, though. I enjoyed myself. It's a very interesting like Metroid game because I mean like it's the only Metroid game where like the main point is just to like kill all the Metroids.
Yeah, that's right. There's like a number ticker for that.
Yes,
and their whole goal is to man. It's like
it's a genocide simulator.
It really is. It's like
well, I mean that's kind of the point of that game, which is I mean like which actually then leads into Super Metroid to where actually like you capture the very last Metroid ever.
So the whole The Last Metroid is in captivity thing has a lot
last,
of foreshadowing.
Yep. Has a whole game of foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's cool.
Hey,
wow, you're playing a lot of GameCube classics there,
yeah,
Zach.
I know,
I
right?
That.
Including also, Mario Sunshine, because I also borrowed that from my friend. Because I saw that and I'm like, I want to play Mario Sunshine again.
So what are other GameCube classics that Zach has not yet played?
Wind Waker.
Cubivore.
Chibi Cleaner Robot Thing.
Oh, Chibi Robo!
Amazing Island.
I never actually played that game. Chibi Robo was something that I
1080 Avalanche.
Yes! That game. Yes! I play Jungle Beat actually quite often. And why is Steven naming all of these obscure third party nobody cares about games?
Jungle Beat is not third party!
Oh, okay.
Jungle Beat is a
I actually did not hear that last one. I actually just heard the two before in The Amazing Island. So, yeah, Jungle Beat is a game that I have not played, but I do have a pair of bongos in this house right now, though, so I could play it.
I am so sorry, Zach.
What?
It's actually a great game.
The bongos are worth more than Guitar Hero drum sets, at least.
No, they're not, because at least the Guitar Hero drum sets you could use for other things as well.
Like what?
Like plugging them into a computer and using them as a real drum kit.
Well, we're not plugging the bongos into the computer and using them as a real bongo kit.
You can't, because it's a GameCube proprietary controller. It won't work.
You actually can
build
like
an adapter.
Yeah, well, the Rock Band drum kits don't even have an adapter needed. You just plug them into USB.
Guys, I don't see why we can't just plug them both into the PC and jam out together using bongos and drums.
That's my
line. That would be too agreeable, and I don't like to agree with Brian or anything.
Well, he was the last person you were willing to agree with, so what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Just Cameron doesn't agree with himself at this point. That's how disagreeable Cameron is. All right. So let's see. That makes Metroid Prime, Mario Sunshine, Luigi's Mansion.
Have you been...
Visual novels that are making your computer turn everything to Japanese and not be able to open Audacity?
Yeah, there's that. And then there is some Final Fantasy XIV, which I have now basically taken up as kind of like a part-time job. When I'm not doing something else, then I will go play 14. And
that is
after I got lectured by somebody in a dungeon yesterday, I've been working on a job now because they told me that I'm wasting... away if I just stick with one class, so now I'm cross-classing and getting my job.
Was this in the context of you not doing enough damage slash not tanking well enough?
No, it was them saying that I wouldn't have as much fun if I just stuck with one class until the end. So they lectured me throughout the entirety of the dungeon whenever we had some downtime about all the things that I should do, and I'm like, okay, cool, thanks.
So what are you doing?
So I turned out as a Marauder, which is the tank class in 14. And so I'm going to get the Warrior job, which is, you know, the tank job. But to do that, I need to level up, the Gladiator to level 15 to unlock the Warrior job. Gladiator is a DPS class.
How are you finding DPS?
I mean, I'm basically just doing, like, you know, single-player story things and, you know, the little side quests and stuff just to get up to level 15, and then I'm going to, you know, go back, I mean, like, and then I'm going to switch to Warrior, and Warrior takes the level of the primary class, which is Marauder, so I'll be, like, a level 41, like, Warrior once I actually switch over, so.
That's neat.
I mean, really, the only reason that you want to, you know, get the Gladiator stuff is that you can, like, there is a move that allows you to aggro all the enemies around you that the Marauder doesn't get. So,
oh yeah, that is pretty key for a tank.
Yeah.
Are you finding that you're able to keep up with all the lingo and jargon everyone is using in the game? Is it like all familiar to you?
I actually had my guild like sit down with me and like explain what like all I mean like what most of the things meant.
Okay,
one night.
Trash mobs.
Well, okay, not that. Like I mean, like you know, like I know that stuff. It more or less is they use like I mean, like they use a I mean, like a lot of shorthand for dungeon names and stuff. So I had to learn that. Just whenever they want me to like help them out on a run or something.
I very rarely talk to people in World of Warcraft these days because I just do random dungeons. They just throw us together, and usually it's just like, I'll say, hi, everyone, and then everyone will say, hi, smiley face, if they're nice, and then it's just, we win. But I asked, do the random dungeons ever get more challenging? at any point.
Yeah.
And everyone just started saying, not really. And it just, it quickly devolved into everyone saying, but man, remember back when you could get party wiped and back when Burning Crusade and just all of this like reminiscing of when the game was better.
Yeah, 14, I have actually like already been hitting like a surmountable, but very large wall in terms of the spikes in difficulty in the dungeons.
Like, that's great. Are you like grouping with random people or do you have like specific? Okay.
I am basically just doing what is the, called the duty like roulette, which basically just like pairs you up with a random group to, to help out like low level people get through the, you know, like dungeons or a trial, which is kind of like just a boss fight, for their first time. And and you can do this once a day for like lots of XP and lots of gil.
Yep.
So, I mean, that is what I do now. And it's fun. I got thrown into a dungeon though Thursday that was a winding like temple and like. There were like four bosses, and they were all incredibly hard, except for the last boss, which I have heard from people playing it that, like, it's the hardest one, and we had, like, no trouble with it, yet the first one, like, wiped us all, like, four times.
Huh.
I wonder but if that's mostly just... because he cast Doom on the party, and that's not fun.
Doom! What does that do? Kill
Doom
you?
Doom is sets a timer to 10, and if the timer reaches 0, you just die.
And how do you get rid of it?
During that boss fight, there are panels on the floor, and you have to run to the one that is, like, lit up to remove it.
Once, if a boss fight requires people to do something other than press buttons, people typically die.
Yeah, so it took us about four times, because for some reason, like, the two DPS guys kept on falling for it, whereas I figured it out pretty much after the first time.
Yep.
And then the healer figured it out the next time, and then the DPS guys figured it out, like, you know, like, the fourth time.
See, DPS people are not used to having to think when they're playing.
As a DPS player, I agree with that.
I actually feel really weird now that I'm actually, like, really encroached, like, in this culture now, and Cameron's just sitting over, and, like, I kind of feel that Cameron is now just being like, I've lost my one friend in this world.
If somebody would play Guild Wars with me ever, I'd be okay.
Well, Cameron, here's the issue. We don't remember what that game is, so. No, but, okay. Like, for me.
Let's look on the bright side here.
Oh, what's the clowns?
No, they're all dead.
Oh. Well, that's, I guess that's a bright side. What?
No. Cameron, if you want to play multiplayer games with people, we just recently made a great stride in doing that.
That is so true.
We port forwarded Battle Block Theater.
Right. Well, I'm not.
I don't think that was a great stride at all. It just made me feel even more left out.
Because Cameron and I have been trying to play Battle Block Theater, and there's been horrible lag. We thought it was my internet. Then
was a little bit your internet still.
It probably was a little bit. That is true. But I upgraded my internet and also got an Ethernet cable running in here temporarily. And was getting insanely fast connection, hardwired, and we are still getting the lag, so we figured it must be something on the game's end, and port forwarded it, and then it worked fine. So, there's a lesson, kids. Even in modern internet games, sometimes you still need to port forward through your routers.
I feel like kids know all about that, because kids play Minecraft, and
that's a good point. Kids had to teenagers, young adults, I don't know.
Elderly.
Everyone.
Please, elderly, anyone? Please remember that you have to port
elderly,
forward.
Yes. Port forward your routers. So we played some of that and made marginal progress, but in Battle Block Theater, that is a success in its own right.
And when they finally got everything figured out, they said, well, why don't you come over and play with us? We'll all be friends and on Friendship Island and we'll play the game together. And then I'm like, all right, I'm here. And then they're all like, psych! And then I can't play anymore. And they kick me out of the game. That's what happened.
Well, we found out Battle Block Theater does not support three players.
Well, not very well, at least.
In the story.
Yes.
And in the modes they do, they were all 2v2 teams.
Yeah.
So three players is the absolute worst amount to play Battle Block Theater with.
So I just went and played more Shovel Knight. I just started a new game plus on that. And I just
Wait, seriously? I thought you went... Oh, huh. Yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
But there's another thing we've been doing in the multiplayer arena, Cameron. What is that?
I don't know.
Think about the really obvious thing we did today.
Well, could it possibly be the thing?
We played the thing.
Oh!
We got LAN multiplayer.
Oh, that classic PS2 game.
I have totally played that. I actually have that, like, right across from me.
I heard it was really a really well-done horror game.
If you're a fan of the movie, it's okay. If you've not seen the movie, or if you don't like the movie, then you probably wouldn't care about it.
I'm guessing both of those are true for me, so,
Yeah, you probably wouldn't like a movie where, you know, they try to do surgery on a guy, and then his chest opens up with teeth, and then they bite down on his hands, and the guy screams, and then pulls his hands out, but there's no hands anymore, just little bloody stubs and blood everywhere. Oh, it's great.
Is the guy a clown?
No, they're all basically just researchers down in Antarctica. So they're all
what the heck were they doing? Let's put some teeth on his abdomen. That's a good idea.
No, it was the guy was the guy was the thing. The thing can take the shape.
They found
of
him like
so it's not like an experiment gone wrong. It was just
they just found him.
This is
they
more or less
thing.
Somebody found this like creature from space and it. It's a shapeshifter, but it can, like, shape the body that it is currently, like, mimicking to be all kinds of terrible with teeth and claws everywhere.
Oh,
like Sam Whistle.
I thought the thing was this big friendly dude who wore shorts and said it's clobber in time.
Well.
That's the other thing.
If you want to go with the Stanley School of Things, sure.
Okay, I do.
All right, so
there's thing one and thing two. So
here's the thing about the thing we actually played. Which is Minecraft.
It is Minecraft, and let me tell you why we played Minecraft.
Well, I was about to explain something.
Oh.
I said, here's the thing.
Yeah, let Cameron talk, Steven.
Oh, okay, Cameron.
So, God. Alright.
Jeez!
I'm sorry.
So I played a ton of Minecraft in college, and I basically burned myself out on it. And then I have relatives, namely young relatives, namely annoying relatives who love Minecraft. So they're like, play Minecraft with me, Cameron. And I'm like, I don't want to play Minecraft.
Cameron, I'm a little offended. I know we're relatives now.
And I don't like Minecraft anymore. And he's like, play with me anyways. And my dad's like, play with him or you're grounded. And I'm like, Dad, I'm 23 years old. You can't ground me. I don't care. He's going to play with him anyways. So I end up playing Minecraft with a little kid, and I hate it, and it sucks, and I've made so many new worlds, and I've restarted from the beginning a million billion times, and I'm just sick of Minecraft. So Steven today is all like, we should play Minecraft.
I'm basically your little cousin, but older.
And I'm like, I don't really want to play Minecraft. And he's like, I already bought a server. And I'm like, why did you do that? And he's like, you're paying for half of it. And I'm like,
all right, none of that is true. All of that was a lie.
Except all of it except for the final thing.
Well, I had proposed it to you before I bought the server. However, I was so excited. I was pretty much hovering over the
lie, body. But the actual events were true. So let Cameron continue.
So my problem with Minecraft is not so much that it's not a fun game, because it is. But my problem with Minecraft is I feel like I've done it all already, and I've restarted a million times, and I'm just tired of restarting. So the idea of possibly playing with two other friends, maybe even three if Zach plays, but I doubt it, on a persistent world that won't go away without the problems the internet, overplaying over the internet causes, was actually really enticing, because it just gets rid of so many of the problems I had beforehand. However, it all depends on whether or not we're actually going to be able to play at the same time, because I'm not going to sit here and play this game by myself, even in a world where there's other people living, because that's stupid and I'm sick of it and it's dumb. So the only way I'm going to keep on playing this game is if literally one of you guys are always on there with me when we're playing it together, because I'm not doing it by myself.
That's interesting, because I actually, one of the big draws for me with Minecraft is the asynchronous nature of a persistent world that I can get into and say, oh, it looks like Brian updated his castle last night while I was asleep, and now I can go in there and deliver that, that thing. Not the thing, but the thing I wanted to give. I will not deliver the
it's
thing.
Just, it's become
to your room.
To me so monotonous to, I'm gonna start over, I'm gonna build a house, I'm gonna go build a mine, I'm gonna build a castle because everyone builds a castle, I'm gonna build some stairs because everyone builds stairs, and doing that by myself, even if there's asynchronous stuff going on, is just stupid and dumb and stupid. So my goal here is, we're gonna start a civilization, we're gonna get good and get materials, and then we're gonna build something together.
And let me tell you what really excites me about this Minecraft server, other than the fact that I realized that I can get the company to host it instead of me, which is a zillion times easier. And it's that this is an official Whales Are Whales server. So everyone who's a part of the Whales Are Whales network, including you, Zachary, can...
Yeah, don't care.
Please care. can log onto the server and make their own houses, or we're probably gonna have an official train station at 8, building that, maybe we can make train tracks through a cave or something, and there will be a disembodied voices place and whatever we want to do. And that's just a really exciting idea because we have more people who are going to be joining Whales or Whales soon, and they'll be able to log on as well. And that's just sounds awesome. So yes, Cameron, I want it to be very collaborative, and I will definitely play with you.
Good.
Do you know how many times those empty words have been uttered?
I'm gonna play with you.
I'm gonna play with you. Definite.
But I think there's a difference this time. I said definitely.
We should create a hall in Minecraft dedicated to all of the Fallen games that we said we're going to play together that we don't. Like a little mural for Guild Wars 2 and for what's that game?
Skies
Airship game.
Yeah,
Air Buccaneers.
Titanfall just has its own village. Giant Titan.
Gosh, what Titan?
Guns of Icarus.
Guns of Icarus.
Shoot mini robots.
Yep. There were some others too. I have
mini robots.
Held the Battle Block Theater promise.
So far.
And you guys are actually playing it together, not with me. Whatever. Okay.
It's two player.
You can try to get into the club, Zach, with a little
okay,
break.
You can
heart.
Totally mod it for four players or something.
You and Steven can play through it.
Yeah. Zach, don't you want to play with me?
that was kind of I don't know. Pathetic sounding, but also kind of adorable. I don't know.
I try to bank on the pathetic but endearing, and hopefully someone will pay attention to me at some point. So yeah, Minecraft. But no, this is different because it's Minecraft. I've always wanted to get into Minecraft, but it's always been the server issue. We couldn't get the port forwarding to work. I don't know how to run a server, but now with the Minecraft Realms, it's so easy. I can just invite people like a normal game. And we played it for 2.5 hours today, and it was so fun.
How fun was it?
It was so, so fun. That's how fun it was. Yeah. So
that was the saddest laugh I think I've ever heard.
That's because we made that joke 4 times today. Oh, and Cameron and I realized what the theme song of Minecraft is. Unfortunately, it's Zombie, and we refused to stop singing it.
Gosh. So you guys played for a long time once I mysteriously disappeared.
Yes.
Yes.
What were you all doing?
Well, you'll have to log in and find out.
Am I going to find dead clowns all over my mind?
That joke only appeared in the last 45 minutes.
Well, you've had the ability to log into Minecraft.
I wouldn't be able to recreate clowns in the past 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't have quite that ability.
Right. I don't.
Well, not a ton happened.
I did a lot, thank you very much.
So on my end, I had this amazing idea and then accidentally ruined it all. See, what I was going to do is
Sounds like disembodied voices.
Whoa.
Wow. That was pretty brutal.
My plan, I found this incredible natural lava flow, and so what I was going to do is build a bunch of stonework on top of it and call it the Lava Forge and build all of my
stonework
and weapons there. But then I accidentally put a stone on top of the lava flow and every bit of it dried up. So now I need to find new lava. And Cameron said you can move lava to a different spot if you make a bucket.
Yes.
But before you can make a bucket, you have to find iron.
Yes.
So I spent
I gave you iron.
You did, but I wanted to find... Once I had the iron, I had to find the lava. So I was digging for 20 minutes trying to find lava, and I found almost nothing. And it was kind of boring.
So my gift that I left you is actually... I found lava, and I made a bucket, so I dumped some lava next to your house that you can have.
Whoa, that's amazing! That means I can build the lava forge now!
Yeah.
I can build a lava forge.
Right.
I just like saying lava forge. So if I just put the lava somewhere, will it just start flowing, or?
Yes, in all directions that it can. So don't put it somewhere you don't want it to be.
Okay.
I'm just gonna find lava all over my house when I'm like back in.
I hope not. So, Brian,
it's going to be the whole world is burning with lava.
I'm going to put it on the tallest mountain and then just let the lava water fall. So, Brian,
what would happen if we filled the spawn point with lava? Just everyone that gets in the game will immediately die.
You can't place things in the spawn point.
Oh, okay. What were you saying, Steven?
Well, I was going to say, what's the intention for your stronghold right now?
I have no idea.
Like, what do you have? You just have still the hole in the top of the mountain?
Yeah, pretty much.
I started just kind of filling up the top of a really cool snowy mountain with, like, a fort, but it was kind of, you know, your basic thing you do in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so then I thought up the lava forge, but then that was ruined. But it also turns out I had this incredible, like, natural wonderment directly under my mountain, which is this huge, like, carved out, open air, cavernous waterfall. So I'm probably going to do something with that as well.
Neat.
Yeah.
Well, let me know how that goes. Well, I'll be able to see how that goes.
Minecraft still gives me that very hard-to-capture sense of wonder and exploration. And that's why I was so hyper today and wanted to get playing, because it was just so exciting.
It was pretty cool. I didn't get to play too much, but I really enjoyed what I did play, and we got some cool stuff done. Yay, Minecraft. It's deserving of its fame.
Yes. So, Dak, do you hate Minecraft because you played it and hated it, or do you have, like, some weird stigma against it?
No, actually, I bought it back when it, like, first came out, back when the game was, you know, first, and, like, it's super, early alpha, when there was, like, you know, nothing really there except for, you know, a bunch of blocks. And, wow, that game is boring. Like,
well,
I guess it's like, okay, so Minecraft and like, you know, all the games like it, or were the games that, like, you know, go with the emergent gameplay kind of thing, to where, like, you know, the players make their own goals, their own fun.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have fun with that because I don't have the, like, imagination for that. I don't have, like, the ability to make fun appear out of thin air for myself. I have to have, like, some kind of goal in place in games for me to actually have fun with it.
But what if, A, you were playing on a later survival mode, which wasn't in the original, so you're having to do things like, you know, kill animals and make food so you don't die and run away from monsters.
That turns into an open-world survival game.
But there are only elements of that, and then you're collaborating with people.
It's still boring. It's the same thing as Rust, DayZ, and everything else. And the game's boring, and they're not fun.
I'm going to have to think of some way to trick you.
Which, of course, the number one reason, though, is that playing with people sucks.
Well, it does.
Well, Zach, I'm really excited about playing Civ tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's weird. Like, I think that, like, whenever... So... And I am just going to contradict myself all over the place here tonight. I guess it's more of a selective thing for me to, like, in some games playing with people just, I don't like it. Like, if the whole purpose of the game is to, like, work together to survive the, like, outdoors, I mean, like, you know, Minecraft and Rust and DayZ and like, stuff like that. Like, those games don't, like, appeal to me. Because like, you aren't really, like, interacting with people, as it is so much that you're just all trying to make it in this world together, and you might occasionally, like, work together, but you are still technically, like, all, I mean, like, but you are still all on your own, though. Even if there are people there, and even if you do work together sometimes, it is still essentially, like, a one-man game in a game that I don't like.
Well, I guess it's... I don't think the dynamics work like that, though. It's just like in MMO, you could solo it, but, I mean, we were playing together the whole time, and Cameron, like, helped me out constantly.
Well, to be fair, we were also griefing each other.
In the beginning, yes, you all mobbed my house and broke it down into pieces. But after that, Cameron built a staircase for me and showed me how to make stuff. And yeah. I don't know. I guess if it's just if you really don't like the game type, then well.
That basically is my number one thing, is that I just don't like games like that. They're not fun to me. I just don't derive enjoyment from just big open worlds with, like, nothing really, or rather, when the player has to build what is in the world, I don't want to do that. I want to go explore a world that somebody else has, like, imagined for me. Somebody else has made this grand world for me to go have fun in. Making your own world to have fun is essentially just like, you know, playing with Legos, and I never actually liked Legos much growing up either.
Okay, that was going to be the first question I asked before all of this. Is Zach, did you like Legos as a kid? And that'll tell you if you like Minecraft.
I did not. I never particularly liked the idea of having to make my own fun. I preferred to have somebody else make my fun for me.
Well, that's, yeah. So you hired slave labor from other kids to build your Lego sets.
Which is why, basically, like, I stopped playing with toys around, like, the age of 7 and just switched pretty much exclusively to video games.
Okay, Brian, you know what? This completely explains why Zach is into Japanese RPGs and why we are into Western RPGs.
That's a good point.
Like, our entire childhood was, like, we never really stopped playing with toys. We just evolved them.
Don't,
like,
forget our entire childhood was also killing rats in sewers. That was a large percentage.
That is true. We grew up in sewers, and we had to kill rats, like, every day. So when we had to do that, like, in Elder Scrolls or whatnot, it was just second nature.
It was nostalgic.
Yeah, it really was.
Cameron, did you like Legos?
Yeah, lots.
Okay, there we go.
And so he loves Minecraft. Okay, this is a 100% correct correlation. We solved something.
Now, here's something else I'm interested in. Cameron, does your, whatever the person is, your relative who keeps asking you to play Minecraft, does he also do Legos?
He's too young for Legos.
Really? He's that young?
He went straight from the womb to Minecraft.
I didn't know you could be old enough for Minecraft, but not Legos.
Yeah, that's what kids do nowadays. Their parents give them cell phones at like 4 months old, and they immediately have Minecraft installed on it, and it's like,
I have witnessed a friend's like kid brother discovery and becoming obsessed with Minecraft. It's hilarious. Cause I visited the kid like when he first discovered Minecraft, and then like 2 years later I went back and it was his whole life.
And then the little turds think they know more than you, even though I grew up on the
Alpha.
Well,
he definitely knew more than
me.
He
didn't know. My nephew doesn't know more than me, so he's like, "Did you know that you could do this and this and this?" I'm like, "Yes."
Wait,
I did it before,
Cameron,
the feature.
That's exactly what was happening with us today, though.
I
Cameron,
never
did you know you could
more than
blocks
Cameron.
Below you and jump on them to get higher.
Yeah, so maybe that's why I don't want to play that.
Yeah, maybe you're not going to enjoy this after all. Maybe I should just build by the server, and then Brian doesn't have time, and Zachary hates the game, and Cameron hates me, so I'm just going to play alone. Anyway, why did I buy a server? What is wrong with my life?
Sounds about right.
I need new friends.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's good.
That was good to get out. Yeah, again, a very, very cathartic episode of Disembodied Voices.
Yeah.
Why, wow, Steven, you have that pathetic sound.
Yeah, I've been practicing.
Yeah. No, that's not going to happen. What's likely going to happen is none of us are going to play it.
That is done.
Too busy.
Stinking true. I'm level 80 in World of Warcraft, by the way. Changing topics. So once I get to 90, and if that's before the expansion comes out, I might spend a couple of months playing Final Fantasy. I don't know. We'll see. So let's hope I do that fast.
That would be good, because I've been kind of lonely without what's-his-face showing
Steven?
Up on my friends list. It's like something Wanderlass, or I don't know.
Oh, Wanderlass! Oh, yeah! I love Wanderlass. She's a lass who wanders.
You know what? I really miss playing Guild Wars 2. That game was really good.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking that's the same thing today. But the thing is, like, I definitely want to keep playing World of Warcraft, and I'd love to go back to Final Fantasy and go back to Guild Wars. I have a certain amount of interest in WildStar, and I have a lot of interest in EverQuest Next, along with the EverQuest Next, like, voxel builder that is in beta right now, which is what got me to play Minecraft in the first place. And so I can't play all the MMOs, so I have to choose them.
Some people do. Surely you could maybe, you know, devote two-thirds of your life to nothing but them.
Yep. Well, that would mean I can't play any other video games, probably including Hearthstone, and then I
much.
Might have to, like, quit my job.
Yeah, know. No, that sounds about next. Right. That sounds about what, you know, most real gamers do, but I
that's
guess you,
true.
But I guess you just aren't, like, dedicated enough like me, Mr. No Job, to just be playing Final Fantasy 14.
I'm a fake
I really
MMO
wish
gamer.
I had a job, somebody hire me.
Zach, I can hire you, but I can't pay you. sorry. Speaking of games, how about that World Cup, right?
And this has been Disembodied Voices, everybody. Thank you for watching.
I love it when you get to the point where Cameron will take
Goodbye.
Over the outro. I'll go ahead and do a real outro, Cameron.
You're the one who brought up the World Cup, man.
You don't have to hint so subtly.
Oh, I could have been way less subtle.
I believe it. Oh man, there was one other thing I was going to mention though. Oh, Hearthstone! That's it! Of course that was it! The expansion should be coming out pretty soon.
Yay. Yes, it should.
This has been Disembodied Voices, everybody.
Wait, everyone needs to know something. Cameron,
have a wonderful Yeti.
This is important. I'm getting better at Hearthstone. I actually had like a 50-50 plus win ratio last time I played.
That's great.
That's awesome. Thank you for coming, everybody.
Thank you for coming, everybody.
All right. Thanks for coming. This has been Disembodied Voices, episode 100.
Brian, you fuss over your professional outro, and this is what we
133, Cameron. This is why I fact check. I hope you have all enjoyed yourselves as much as I have enjoyed Cameron for this episode.
Thanks.
Find us on the interwebs at thedbcast.com. We are also a product of the Whales or Whales Network, so check us out there at whalesorwhales.com. For the Twitterverse, we're thedbcast. Cameron is Dell90WattAC. Steven is StephenKelly180. Zachary is PhazonMasher. I am Lord Meldor, and that'll do it. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Bye.
Yeah, no problem. That's the show. Thanks for listening from me, from Dills, from Terpster.
Wait, what?
See you next time.
What are you doing? Are you doing a Scott Johnson impression?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's not a good job. It wasn't very good.
Well,
I apologize.
Not like his voice. I just like his outros.
His outros are really good. If you're listening to Scott Johnson, your outros are really good, but I highly doubt you are. Also, one thing I did forget to mention, check us out on iTunes. We're there. Leave us reviews.
We're on iTunes?